We're going to continue on in the book of James. I haven't started over the last few weeks talking about James, James 1. And we're going to be continuing on today in James 2 as we work through the whole book. And typically we do sermon series where we talk about topics. And but a lot of times people ask us, hey, we'd like to hear just, you know, preach through some of the books of the Bible. And so we're doing that through James at the beginning of the year. And then we'll move into some different series in the next few months. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be basically in the book of James, chapter 2. I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered about faith? Have you ever doubted that you had it? Ever wished that you had more? Anybody ever told, somebody told you, just have faith, right? Anybody? Anybody ever hear that? Just have faith. Brother, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, just have faith. And then the pastor comes and he preaches a scripture based on Hebrews 11:6, which says, it is impossible to please God without faith, right? So maybe you're in a weird place. You're like, man, I don't know where my faith is. I don't know. You know, I'm doubting in some areas. Am I missing faith? How do I get it? What's it look like? And then when we hear that it's impossible to please God without it, you know, it can be crushing to our spirit. And you're like, man, God, I'm really trying. I want to have faith. I want to believe in you. I want to know who you are. And we understand that faith is very important. And hopefully we all want to please God because the scripture tells us that that we should. The good news today is that the book of James chapter 2, the main theme of this whole letter is on faith. And it's just great how God looks down through eternity and sees where we're going to be at certain places of our life and comes to speak to us. So if you've had any of these questions about faith, today is definitely for you. If you're full of faith, then you should probably listen to this as well, because God always wants to speak something different to our heart. And maybe you're missing the one little part of it that God wants to speak to you today. Some of the main questions I've had over the years asking me is, man, how do I recognize faith? How is it made visible? How do you know that someone has real faith? When I look at them, how do I know that that faith that they're showing or what they're saying is true? James gives us two examples today of what he believes faith really is. I'm always amazed by James because a lot of people don't know James is the brother of Jesus. What a hard life to live, right? When your brother is Jesus, your parents come to you and you're like, Jesus is such a good kid, James. What's wrong with you? Right? And he's like, he's the son of God, Mom. Come on. Right? I mean, think about having to live in a house where there's Jesus. I mean, where the guy could do no wrong, right? And if he did, he could just zap it and fix it. Okay, it's good. Right? I mean, what a hard life to live. And typically when you grow up in a house like that, and I grew up with three brothers, and, you know, it was not always roses and, you know, things were not always great. We had our little arguments and we had our times where, you know, we didn't agree on things and we still do, but luckily we don't live together anymore. But I can tell you growing up with three brothers, it's hard just to have a brother. And then to have a brother who is Jesus, right? Who you follow around and you see him doing such amazing things in this world, I'm sure that one could be bitter. And what I'm amazed as I read through the book of James, it's just how praiseworthy James is on Jesus. And he just says, man, Jesus is the way. He's the guy. He's the one to put your faith in. Trust me, I know him. He's my brother, you know. I've seen what he does. I've seen what he says. He's the real deal. So as James explains faith today, from a closer point than probably anybody else had, man, I think we should listen to what he has to say today. So let's look at the two things that James tells us. We're going to start in James 2 and 1. This is the New King James Version. It's going to be up there on the screens. Your version may be a little different. But it says, my brethren. Now we know when James says brethren, he means his family. You know? I mean, you saw, say, hey, what's up, bro? I call my brothers. Like, what's up, bro? What's up, man? How are you? You know, it's a very laid back. And this brethren word is, hey, family. I'm talking to you. He says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there ever should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. You say to the poor man, you stand there. Or you sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? The story James is giving is just like today. He said, guys, if you're gathered together, in a house of worship, if you're in the meeting place, the synagogue, which is what our normal day churches are, and he said a man comes in and he's wearing fine rings, and we know from history that fine rings and fine apparel was a sign of wealth. And they said even back in the days, people would try to impress other people that even at this time, you could go and rent rings to wear to special occasions so that you could pretend to be more wealthier than you really are. Did y'all know that Rent-A-Center was around when Jesus was walking? How cool is that? I mean, I'm thinking that's amazing that there were already guys, wheelers and dealers out there thinking, dude, these people don't have rings, let's rent them to them, right? And we'll just take a little bit of money and they can pretend to be something they're not. But James says if a guy comes in and he's wearing these rings and he's wearing really nice clothes, first of all, he might not be what he seems. He might not be that wealthy guy. He might. But he said then if another guy comes in and he's not wearing any rings, he don't have the latest fashion on, maybe smells a little different than, 90% of us. And you say to him, to the nice guy and the wealthy guy and the rich guy, hey, man, I saved the seat for you. Sit right here next to me. And then this other guy comes in and you say, brother, why don't you just stand over there? Or just sit here at my footstool, which means sit at my feet, which is where the servant sat. James says you've become judges with evil thoughts. Wow. Adam, what does that have to do with faith? There must not be any partiality or prejudice. If a man is prejudiced against another because of the color of his skin or the state of his bank account, or he treats him as though he were unimportant simply because he's not wealthy, then obviously we have no faith. And we know that because we look at the life of Jesus. See, this mindset that we have shows that we care more for the outward appearance than we do at the heart. And when we look to the scripture in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, for the Lord does not see man as man sees, for man looks at outward appearance. But our Lord God looks at the heart. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful today that God looks at my heart. Because if it came down to nice rings and nice clothing and big houses, where would we all be? Right? If it came down to our clothes or the kind of car we drove, or if it came down to the color of our skin, we might all find ourselves in a bad place at times. See, if God looks at the heart, so should we. This partiality shows that we misunderstand who is important and blessed in the sight of God. And when we assume that the rich man is more important than God or more blessed by God, it shows we put too much value in material possessions. Now, let's be honest today. We all want nice things, right? And it seems like that things are always breaking and it's time to upgrade. Just this week I was looking at my carpet. It's been in my house since I bought it. When I bought it, it was beautiful. Then a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old came along, right? And they have placed their mark on that carpet in more than one place, right? So my wonderful wife, she says, we need to do something with the carpet. Let's get some new carpet. And I thought, why would we do that? Right? We got a lot of growing years, right? Left ahead of us. And I'm thinking, let's just wear it out, and then we'll just pull it out like a lot of people do, and then we'll just, paint the concrete, right? Anybody else seen those beautiful houses? They just, dye that concrete and acid wash it. And then, at 14, when we make a move out, then we'll put some nice carpet in, right? But I don't know about you. I want nice things. But for me, I want to keep those nice things, right? And that's why we take care of stuff. But James tells us if we judge the people we come in contact with by outward appearance, we do not have faith. Or if we do, that faith is messed up. Because true faith aligns with the life of Jesus. And his word tells us that Jesus looks at our heart. So faith is shown by there being no partiality or prejudice. That was the first thing. And then second, James says this, that faith is made visible by actual deeds of practical mercy. Think about that. Our faith is shown by practical deeds of mercy. James 2:14 says this. What does it profit, my brethren? Still speaking to us. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does this profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together? And with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect. The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by his works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them on another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Wow. Think about that for a moment. Faith without works is dead. Now, who's ever heard works will not get you into heaven? Good deeds will not get you into heaven, right? We've heard that. And we believe that to be true. And this is the argument that James is telling us. That some of us say, well, I have faith, and that's all I need. And some will say, well, man, I'm a good person, and I do great things, and that's all I need. But James tells us that neither one of those are complete. That if you have faith, you will have works. And if you have real works, you've got to have faith. Because we want to align ourselves with the life of Jesus. And this is what Jesus spoke to us. See, everyone alive today expresses faith in something. No one can live a single day without exercising faith. When you awoke and you went into the bathroom this morning and you flipped on the light switch, you had faith what? That thing was going to come on, right? Anybody ever have it not come on? Right? Yeah, me too. And that's like a bummer, right? You're like, click it, and then you do what? You flip it a couple times, right? It doesn't work. But we have faith in that. When you enter your car and you turn the car key and you have faith that it's going to start. And sometimes that faith is tested. Ever had that little roar, 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 right? You turn it off and you sit there a second and you're like, okay. And then you're like, what? Like, Jesus, please let this thing start. Please. And then we start get on the gas a little bit. Right? And you're like, Jesus, if you will please let this thing start. This would really help me out a lot, right? We've all been there. I remember the first truck I ever had was a 1986 Nissan Hardbody. It was nice, right? 5-speed transmission, had a little Z24 engine in it. I mean, it was quick, right? Had some nice little rims on it, nice big tires, right? Pulling the straight Panama City redneck, you know, just doing it, right? The starter went out in that bad boy one day. Luckily, it was a standard, right? So for about 3 months, you know what Adam did? I had to park on a hill every time I stopped. Right? Because if you have a standard, what can happen? You put that little baby in like second gear, hit a little coast, pop the clutch, starts right up. Right? Who didn't know that? Yeah. If you have a standard, you pop the clutch, you get the engine started, even if your starter's broke. Right? So I lived that way. Right? The problem was, is every once in a while, Adam would get stuck in a place where there was no hill. Right? And then I had to have real faith that either someone was going to get out of their car and help me push this truck off, get it going about 5 or 10 miles per hour, jump in the truck, pop the clutch, and get it going, right? Y'all shaking your heads like you have never seen this. I saw this like 2 days ago in the mall parking lot, right? I jumped out and was going to run because I already knew what the guy was doing. He was running, has the little door open, he's pushing that thing, right? He got it going. I was like, yeah, man, I'm with you, bro. I got you. Nissan Hardbody, 86. That was me, right? Now, the problem is cars have gotten a lot heavier, and they've added a lot of junk to them, and not most people don't have standards anymore. But every once in a while, you know, I'd have to have faith that someone was going to help me, or I'm like, God, give me strength. Jesus, you know, I'm calling on him. My arms are shaking. My legs are shaking. I'm pushing that thing, and, man, it was always good. It always worked out, right? Not someone would come along sooner or later and help me get going. But we have faith every day, and we have plenty of faith. Just at the wrong times, we have it in the wrong things. I'm sure that some of you have heard of the great French tightrope walker, Charles Blondin. He's one of the greatest tightrope walkers of all times. I don't know if some of you might have heard of him. He's been in the news. He was a big guy back in the day. And there are many legends and tales told of the feats he performed. And one of the big stories he had of Blondin concerns his crossing the Niagara Falls. And he did that on a tightrope several times. And they called him the daredevil of the Niagara Falls. That was what they his little nickname because he'd done it so many times. And so one of his performances, he turns to the large audience, which included reporters and newspapers and all these people back in the day, and he said, "How many of you believe that I can walk across this tightrope?" And man, they're like, "Yeah." Crowd was just cheering, and, "You can do it, Blondin, you can do it." And he said, "How many people believe I can walk across this tightrope over the falls pushing a wheelbarrow?" And once again, the crowd's like, "You can do it, man. You've done this. You're awesome. We love you." And the crowd's just getting louder and louder. Then he's asked, "How many of you believe I can push a wheelbarrow across the tightrope with a man sitting in it?" And of course, the crowd's just like, "That is awesome. We want to see that. That's awesome. Yes, yes, you can do it." So Blondin then pointed to one of the most enthusiastic men in the audience, and he said, "Okay, you get in the wheelbarrow." Needless to say, the man made a quick exit, right? See, Blondin demonstrated that there's often a great difference between belief, the faith we say we have, or action faith, which is the faith we really have, you know? It's real easy to stand behind somebody and say, "You can do it. Man, you can do it." And I got a good friend of mine. He's one of the most encouraging people I know. And I love him because of that. Because it doesn't matter what someone says to him, he always hits them with a positive, "You can do it. Man, if that's what God's told you to do, you do it. Do it today. Don't wait. Start tomorrow. Start right now. You know, get in it. Get moving. Get a plan." You know, and you leave that place going, "Wow, man, I can do it." Just like this tightrope worker. I'm sure at some point he realized, man, all these people just say the same thing because they got no skin in the game, right? They would say whatever. "Hey, y'all think I can walk this tightrope with a cowl on my shoulders?" "Yes, that would be awesome. We'd love to see a cowl out there," you know? But we know that we couldn't do that. No man humanly possible could do that, right? And he just wanted to prove that at times, the measure of our faith is not in our talk, it's in our walk. And Blondin demonstrated that. See, faith is not what we say we do or will do. Faith is what we will do. It's something that must be demonstrated, and it's got to be something demonstrated daily. Paul Harvey once said this, "If you do not live it, you do not really believe it." Right? I mean, when we stand up here and talk about witnessing, and we stand up here talking about sharing the love of Christ, and we know this, if we don't do it on a daily basis, or whenever God presents the opportunity, then we must not really believe it. Because I don't know about you, I believe that if I want to be clean, I got to take a shower. I got to do that daily, sometimes more than once. If I stopped taking showers, but I believed I was clean, I just walked around believing that, it doesn't make it so, right? Same thing with our faith in Jesus Christ. We can tell people all day long, "Man, I love the Lord. Oh, I love Jesus. He's been good to me. I hope everybody comes to know him in the way that I do." But we never share that love with others. There's something missing in our faith. Because faith without action is dead. So how do we live it? I believe the scriptures are clear. That we as believers should put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. We must open ourselves up to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And through that, the Holy Spirit develops in us an action faith. But Adam, where does that come from? I'm glad you asked. Paul clarifies how faith comes to us. In his letter to the believers in the book of Rome, in the Romans, he said this to the people at Rome. "Hear God's promise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Think about that for a moment. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. See, this truth, this promise, I believe, is crystal clear. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What I want to discuss today is that there are two Greek words here, translated word in the scriptures. The two Greek words are this, logos and rhema. Now, it's going to get a little deep here, so I want you to hang with me. Not too deep, but a little bit. Two Greek words, logos and rhema. They represent the word in the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. At times they're interchanged, but generally logos is described as a general word, the general knowledge of God. Written words is the easy way to say it, general knowledge. And through the scriptures, you can receive all the knowledge you need concerning God and his promises. But just reading it alone will not give you faith. We can learn all about God today, right? You could go home today and look up Charles Blondin, which I hope you do, read all about him, all the amazing feats he had. But if you went out to Niagara Falls the next day and put a tightrope across that baby, that would not make you a tightrope walker, right? Think about that for a moment. Same thing with the Bible. You can study God's scripture all day long. One of the deepest conversations I ever had was about a 15-year-old young man. in New Orleans. We went there during Mardi Gras to witness and hand out some, help some of the homeless kids. And he was 15 years old, and he sat down, and we started talking about God. And he drew this diagram on the ground. And he said, this is God here in the middle. And he put all these little lines. He said, this is all the people of the world. And I believe that we all have many paths to this. And he started quoting scripture to go along with it. And then he'd throw a little Buddha in there, and he'd throw a little this, a little bit of that, little Chinese proverbs, whatever it was. He just went on. And I literally was sitting there going, wow. The amount of head time and knowledge time this kid has put into this is amazing. And he's living out here on the streets. And I said to him, I said, man, where have you come up with this? I said, where do you study? And he said, there's libraries all over this world. He said, I've been in some of the nicest. He said, I've been to New York City to California. He said, one of the things I do is I love to go in their libraries, and I just love to read. And he said, a long time ago, I wanted to know about this guy named God and if he was for real. And he said, this is what I've come to by studying about God. And I was just amazed at that. And I said, well, what about God's son, Jesus? And he looked at me and he said, I can't wrap my mind around Jesus. Because we can read all we want about Jesus Christ. But until we experience him and see him for who he is, until we experience him on a real level, until we know who he is, until we get out of this logos, things written about him, and into the word rhema, which is the word of God speaking to us, it's hard to understand who he is. So we can receive knowledge and understanding about God, but you can't receive faith. See, in this scripture passage, the Greek word used here is not logos, but it's rhema. Faith specifically comes by hearing the rhema of God. Logos has been defined as the written or said word. Rhema is the saying or the action word of God. That is God giving a specific word to a specific person for a specific situation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what I speak to you is what James was saying here, is what God was speaking to us. We see in the word. We can read all about God, but until he speaks to our heart, until he touches us. I don't know about you. I grew up in church. I heard all about God. I haven't told you last week. He was born on a Thursday, in church on a Sunday, right? I don't know what day I was born, but I was in church, right? As long as I can remember. I heard all about Jesus. I heard all about the great things and how he changed your life and how he could help you and how we should serve him and we should love him. And I believed it. Yes, I believe it. I've grown up hearing that, and that's what I believe it. But I was 16 years old, and I was traveling with our youth choir. We went to this little church in Tennessee. There was about 30 of us in the youth choir on like a Thursday night singing to this little church, and there was about 6 people sitting in the audience. And we sang our hearts out, and it was great. And our youth minister came up to us. He said, guys, we're going to be about 3 times more people in our group here tonight that's going to be in this little church. But you know what? God sent us here for a reason, and we're going to sing to them like we've never sang before. He just had this way, man, about getting you inspired about doing things for God. So we get up there, and he went in line, right? We had like 1 row, you know. Church would only hold about 50 people, and we're crammed up in here in this little choir, and we got little microphones, and we start singing. And there's a song called Peace Speaker. It says, I know the Peace Speaker. And halfway through that song, I realized that I'm singing about a guy I don't know. The song talks about knowing him intimately, and him being able to speak to your heart. And I thought, I know all about God, but I don't know him in that way. So in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, I want to know you, Adam. You've been missing out on me. So as I stood there, I'm looking at the ground, and everybody's just singing around me. And I look up, and my youth pastor's wife was directing the choir. And she's had her back to the audience, and she goes, what are you doing? She's just mouthing these words. She's like, smile. And I'm just in this. I mean, God just reached out of heaven and spoke rhema to my life. But in that moment, I believe if I had died, I did not know him. I did not have the personal relationship with Jesus that he says we should have. Praise God that after that service, I spoke to one of the older guys in the group, and he came up to me and said, Adam, what's wrong with you? And I said, man, I think I realized tonight I've really never accepted Jesus into my heart. I really don't really understand until tonight. That it's more about just saying I'm a Christian. It's more about than just going to church, right? It's more about than just singing great songs to God. It's about knowing him personally. If you want deep faith today, we've got to seek God's rhema, which is his speaking to us specifically. Because Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I don't know about you, but I want to please him. I want to do what he's called me to do on this earth in my very short time. Right? I don't know about you, but our days are numbered. Just this week, my dad and I, this guy we eat breakfast with a lot. Then that he passed away. Just spoke to him a few days ago. Now he's gone. Looked like he was in great health. It's just a reminder every day, man, my days are numbered. I got to love God with all that I have and love others the same way that he's loved me. Without rhema, it's impossible to please God. See, Peter never walked on the water because of Logos, because of a general knowledge of God. No, Peter required that Christ give him a specific word. The Bible tells us that Jesus came walking to them on the water. And Peter asked him, Lord, is that you? And he said, yes, it's me, Peter. Jesus said, Peter, come to me on the water. And his word tells him, Peter said, Lord, if you're Jesus, then command me to come. Speak to me now and tell me to come. And Jesus replied, come. We know the story that Peter stepped out of that boat and began to walk on the water towards Jesus. How freaky that would have been to see all those other guys in the boat. The Bible tells us that Peter began to look around and see the waves crashing. And they began to sink. And in that moment, Jesus took him by the hand and he said, Peter, man, why did you doubt? So many of us have been spoken to by the God of this universe. God's given us plans and he's given us actions and he's told us to do stuff. We let the things of this world, the confusion, the things that are crushing upon us, to get our eyes off the word that God has spoken to us. We try to do it through the Logos. We try to look at the things that are written out before us and plan our life out by that. But at the end of the day, man, we need God speaking his word, his rhema, directly to us. Through the scriptures, you can begin to know God. You can gain an understanding and a knowledge about him. And the scriptures are extremely important in our lives, and we're called to read and inwardly digest God's word every day. You may listen to the word of God, and you may study the scriptures, but only the Holy Spirit comes and quickens and stirs that scripture in our heart. And he takes that Logos and he turns it into rhema. How many times have you read a scripture? 1,000 times. And then one day you read it, and it's like, boom, Jesus turns on this light bulb. And in that moment, that Logos, that written word, becomes rhema. When God steps out of heaven through the Holy Spirit and speaks to us and said, I want you to do this. I want you to be empowered by this word in this moment. I want you to be empowered by this scripture in this situation. Right now, this word is for you. We hear it all the time. People send us text messages, send us messages, Adam, Ivan. Man, that word you spoke on Sunday was for me. You were reading my mail, you didn't even know it. And that's not us. That's the Holy Spirit coming by the power of God and speaking rhema to your life for the situation that we find ourselves in today. Scriptures can be burned into our very being when we hear the very words of Jesus Christ, when God steps out of heaven and speaks to us. If you're not meditating on God's word, if you never had time to wait upon the Lord, then how can the Lord come and quicken his word into your heart? A few questions for you before we go. What situation today do you need God to speak rhema in? What situation do you need a direct answer from God? Have you, like Peter, asked for a direct answer? Because God is speaking, we're just not always listening. James tells us in chapter 2 that real faith isn't partial. It's not prejudice. Real faith has action, and we receive it by hearing his word. So today, do you have word faith or action faith? Do others see it? And if faith comes by hearing, that means God must be speaking. So what's he saying to you today? What is God speaking to your heart? What's he speaking to your life? Maybe you're sitting here right now and you're saying, Adam, man, I don't feel like God's speaking to me. Maybe you consider today and say, I don't honestly think that I've ever heard God speak to me. And that hurts my heart to hear that. Because so many times I find myself in scripture, or I find myself being encouraged by someone speaking to me. And God uses a person or his word or a song to speak into the situations that I find myself in. And that's not because I'm special. That's not because I'm perfect. That's not because I'm 100% full of faith. That's because in Adam's busy life at times, I just sit back and say, God, I need you to speak to me in this situation. What are you speaking to me today? Can you give me an answer in this situation? Is this a good job for me? Is this a good person to marry? No matter what our situation is, no matter where we are, no matter the questions are, God has an answer for us. And I know at times it can be scary. Because there have been times in my life where I've asked God questions and I didn't like the answer. And I'd love to stand here and say that every time God spoke to me, I did exactly what he told me to do, but that just wasn't the case. I found myself in sticky situations more than once after I heard clearly the voice of God say, don't do that, Adam. I find myself in it anyway. Because who knows best? At times, I think I do. But we know that's not true. When the Creator of the universe, who sees it all and knows it all, and he speaks to our heart today, and he said, I want to speak rhema to your life. Logos is good. It's good to know God. It's good to get in his word. But when the God of it all speaks directly to us in the situation we find ourselves today, man, how our world can be changed. I'll tell you one more story and then we're going to close. A lady came to our college campus when I was at Southeastern Bible College. She was talking about faith. And she was talking about hearing from God. And she was telling some examples of times where God spoke to her. And she said when she first started traveling around and speaking that she would go into the old laundromats. We don't have a lot of those left. There's a few of them. But she said, you know, hotels didn't have laundry services, so you'd have to go into these laundromats and wash your clothes. And she said she went in one day and she was washing her clothes. And she said in a little while, a young man came in and she said he had the rings on every fingers and the dark clothes and he had a big old mohawk and it was spiked up and he had a lot of piercings. And she said, I immediately was terrified. She said, I'm thinking, you know, I'm the single lady. I'm in the thing. And she goes, I just immediately judged him. You know, she said, because a lot of times, unlike Jesus, we look at the outward appearance. And she said, so I kept to my side of the thing. And she said, he kept to his. And she said, I got all my clothes in and they were washing and drying. She goes, I took a seat. She goes, a few minutes. He finished and he came over and he took a seat across from me. She said, and I pretended that I didn't notice him and I pretended to be busy. So I didn't have to make eye contact with this crazy looking guy who, you know, I didn't agree with the way he was dressed and what he was doing. And she said, I just began to pray. And she said, I was like, God, you know, just give me protection. You know, don't let this crazy guy do anything crazy, you know. And she said, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and say, I want you to speak to him. And she said, immediately I was like, oh, no. That's definitely not God. That was pizza from 2 days ago, you know, coming back up, little, you know, acid reflux, messing with my head a little bit. And God said, no, I want you to speak to him. And she said, very clearly I heard God speak to me and say, I want you to tell him this. Tell him that I have heard his prayers and that I am real. She said, so I sat there for what seemed like an eternity. And she said, a little while, I said, excuse me, sir. And she said, he looked up and she said, I'll never forget. She said, because he had that dark nail polish. She said, because I just immediately thought, man, this guy's evil. She said, I felt like God spoke to me, and he said, he wants you to know that he's heard your prayers and he's real. And she said, immediately he screamed, jumped up, and ran out of the laundromat. And she said, I remember thinking, that went well. Right? And she said, I just sat there. She was like, okay, God, what's next? Nothing. She said, you know, didn't hear nothing. She goes, I'm thinking. She goes, in a few moments, she said, you know, they had the big glass. She said, I could see his mohawk bend out from behind the wall and look in the window. And she said, I was kind of like, still here. She said, and he slowly made his way in. And she said, he said, who are you? She said, I told him. He said, no, who are you? You know, are you a witch or, you know, are you in the occult? She said, nope, just believe in Jesus, just a Christian. And she said, that opened the conversation. She said, he began to tell me of how he was experimenting different things. The dark side, the dark magic, and the occults, and he was researching all this stuff. And he told her that he'd even went to some of these seances and just all kinds of stuff. And he said, but he had this huge hole in his heart. He said the night before he'd stand there and he went home and he said, I was thinking, man, this life's not for me. It's time for me to check out. And he prayed, God, if you're real, what act of faith she shared. By the rhema of God coming and speaking to her, changed that guy's life forever. Hopefully he's still here today. But if she wasn't in touch, if she wasn't hearing from God, if she wasn't allowing herself to hear his words, that might have been the last day that guy ever lived. That's how important our faith is today. That's how important it is to be in God's word, to hear him speak to us. That we can be changed. And I know we all struggle with judging other people. We all do. We all have the stuff that we've brought from our homes, our lives, our cultures, whatever it is. But God's speaking this to us today, and he's saying this, man, I love my children all the same. We all have the same soul. We all have the same heart. We all have the same life that Jesus Christ wants to share with us in eternity. And there might be those who miss it if we're not hearing from him, letting him speak to our life, walking in faith, not judging others, but having faith with action, reaching out and touching people, reaching out and just giving a kind word, reaching out and opening the door. Reaching out and saying, are you okay today? Like you're having a bad day. Is everything all right? Just taking a little bit of our precious time that we feel like we can't share with anyone but ourselves. Opening ourselves up. I mean, when we look at the life of Jesus, the Bible tells us many times that Jesus went out of his way to go through a little town to speak to a woman at a well. He went out of his way to walk through a town and look up in a tree and see a little guy hanging up out there. And so many stories over and over when Jesus just, in the middle of his ministering, in the middle of all that he was doing, took some time to reach the others. Man, what a wasted life we might have if we live it for the years that God has predestined and we don't reach the people he's calling us to reach. We're not able to share the faith that he's given us with those who need it most. And what an amazing time, what amazing words that James has shared with us. And we encourage you to go and read it for yourself. Allow God to speak to you about your faith. There were times in my life where I thought the same thing. I'm like, God, I need more faith. And God would say, you just need more time with me. Forget about all this other stuff. Find yourself in the Word. Find yourself downloading other pastors and ministers. Let them speak to you. Man, if we're the only pastors you're here and you're missing out, there are a lot of good guys out there, anointed guys, who are speaking God's word, and you can download them to your computer, your phone, you can watch them on TV. And don't let this be the only word you receive on a Sunday and a Wednesday. You can do it every day. So that in moment by moment, second by second, we can bring glory to who God is. Amen. Will you pray with us today?